Well, during our Christmas season, we're going to be opening a different gift each week. And this week, it's the gift of hope. And so we're going to be talking about that, kind of preparing as we're looking forward to celebrating the birth of Christ. Now, the interesting thing is, as we walk through this, it's a season is called Advent. And so it's kind of the waiting season. It's what it really means. And so we're waiting for that particular celebration of the birth of Christ. And as we think about that, it's so easy for us to get caught up in the destination that we miss the journey. Now, I've shared this with you, I think, at another time, but I basically grew up in a family that was destination-bound on trips. We did not enjoy the journey. We were ready for the destination. And so, basically we stopped as infrequently as possible. If we could have been catheterized, I think we would have been. I don't think that was an option, but it probably would have been to prevent any unnecessary stops. But we'd get to the destination. That's what we wanted to make sure would happen. And so basically my wife grew up in a family that was very much the same. And so good for us, when we made journeys or trips, it was to see how quickly we could get there. And we were always beating our previous time and stopping as little as possible on the way. And so our kids have been trained that way. I really don't know if this is a generational problem, but it kind of seems like it might be. And so I don't know how many of you, that's kind of how you are. You're really much more toward the destination than you are the journey. So you kind of think about, like, I've got to get there. And so there's a great importance of trying to understand that really the Christmas season is really the journey as well as the destination. I know that there are some who, somehow my parents changed. I don't know how it happened, but I remember them later in life stopping at every Walmart between here and Virginia. So I'm not sure if you just kind of start appreciating the journey more as time goes on. I don't know that yet, but I'm still kind of a destination person myself. But I do know, as we think about looking toward the season, I want you to really think about the journey and not just the destination. I want you to think about and really prepare in your own minds as we look toward that and try to figure out, what does God want to teach you through the journey? And what does he want to work in your life as we're moving toward the destination? If all we're thinking about is the destination, then we tend to become so focused we miss whatever is around us. I know that that's very characteristic. I know for myself that if I'm just thinking about when I'm getting to a point, everybody else is a blur on the way. I'm just kind of getting there, and that has nothing to do with the speed of my driving, in case someone's interested, but it could be related. But the fact is that I'm just getting to that destination. And so what is really important for us as Christians, now this is an opportunity for us that we can be able to really point people to the Savior. The fact is that it's, as Pastor Ryan said earlier, one of the few times when you can hear the name Jesus any place. You could hear it in a store, you can hear it on the radio, you can hear it in places where ordinarily Jesus is only used as a swear word. But now you can actually hear it and the whole story told. So if people that are not believers are singing these songs, you know there must be questions in their mind as to what does this mean? Because I don't think I get it. Well, if you are born again and Christ is living in your heart, you get it. And you need to make sure you're helping others get it. So What I want you to be thinking about each week as we walk through these, I'm going to give you things to think about that would prepare you for what you can do on the journey. And as we're walking through the journey, what should you be thinking about? Now, next week, we're going to be giving you that opportunity for each family member to take a pack of those cards. It'll be about $30 and three different gift cards. You can give them all to one, or you can give them to multiple people. But I'm going to encourage you to see how you can be able to bless someone on this journey as we get toward that. And I would encourage you to think of other ways that you can be able to do that as we're walking through that. So today, we're going to talk about giving hope to us and to others and what that means. The scripture says, "But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more." Let's pray. Father, open our hearts as we hear your word and as we think about it. And as we celebrate this season, help us to really enjoy the journey, not just the destination, that we can be able to use this time as an opportunity to touch lives for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. As we're thinking about this, Advent is a time of hope. Advent is a kind of that waiting and that time of hope that we are looking for. First, let's understand that Jesus brings a gift of hope to our world. And that's the whole message. There's a gift of hope that is there. There's a great importance of understanding what that hope means and how that impacts our lives. We need to make sure we're demonstrating something very different than what the world is experiencing. We need to make sure that we're demonstrating something very different in our own personal lives, in our personal walk, and how we handle ourselves. I really feel that I know we're not perfect, and I know we don't do everything right, but if you keep it in your mind as you're moving toward this, that you will help celebrate this a whole lot easier and a whole lot stress-free if you can keep focused on what we're here for. That, you know, you never know. I always say that a church that is as large as ours is in a small area, you could be rude to the cashier that's at that store and be sitting by him next week in church. Then how would you feel? I bet you wouldn't be quick to raise your hand and praise to the Lord when you see them looking at you for the rude way you had treated them in line the week before. I bet you would be thinking a little bit more about how you cut them off for that parking spot when they were backing into there, when they saw you, and the next week, you thought, I bet they don't think much of my Christianity, and I bet they don't. You see, we have a responsibility to live Christ in front of our world. We have a responsibility to make sure people are seeing something different in our lives, and not that we're weird, but that we have a different spirit that is a part of who we are, that the world is saying, wow, isn't that amazing? That's what needs to be evidenced in each of our lives. Jesus brings that gift of hope to us, and we need to demonstrate it to a world that is around us. The scripture says, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the message that we have. Now, Jesus was the hope of a king. We know that as we look at the Christmas story, we can see the Magi, they from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." I wonder if the Magi knew that this was going to be a baby. I wonder if they knew that. It doesn't really tell us that any place in Scripture. They just know he was born, and they know where, and as they're coming, I wonder if that was how they thought it was going to be, or if they thought it was, a royal king. Certainly, when they found him, the wise men did not come to the manger. I'm sorry if that busts your bubble, but the fact is they came to a house, and he was probably about 2 years old, at this point, someplace as a small infant or child, but they came and they brought those gifts to a home. Now, it was a very poor home because we know Mary and Joseph were poor. We know that when it came to offering the sacrifice, they offered for doves, and that was the sacrifice of a poor family. And so we know that they didn't have much. And it's very likely that the money that they got from these gifts from the Magi was what funded their trip to Egypt afterwards, because they didn't really have much. And so they couldn't really afford a getaway vacation to Egypt. And so they would have had to have come up with this some way. So very likely that this is how it was funded. It's amazing how God always takes care of you no matter what's ahead in your future if you trust him. And that's why, you know, when we talk about, you know, how we trust God and how we tithe and how we give and how we're going to, God prompts our hearts to do whatever it is that he's asking us to do. And we say, first, naturally, we think, boy, I don't know if I can do that. But when we have a priority that's right with God, God takes care of us. And Mary and Joseph were those who were following God. They were obedient and God took care of them. And so, as we know, these Magi were looking for a king, and so there was a hope. This whole journey that they were on was a hope for a king. We know that Jesus was the hope of forgiveness, and he brought forgiveness for us. I want to say that the awesome thing that each of us has is the opportunity to know Christ and to know his forgiveness. It doesn't matter what's been a part of your past. Jesus forgives. And that's why the word says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive. So no matter what's a part of your life, no matter what's happened, no matter what is a part of your past, when we confess that to Jesus, he forgives us. And so we have a clean slate when we stand before God. So he was the hope of forgiveness. Scripture says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. There's a great importance of understanding. Had an interesting conversation just recently with a woman, and she said, well, didn't Jesus come to forgive all of our sins? And I said, yes. And she was continuing in this process, in this conversation. And the way that she was discussing it, though, I could tell there wasn't a personal acknowledgement of sin, nor receiving forgiveness of sin. She was just saying that he came for everyone to forgive everyone's sin, and just because he came, we're all forgiven. Well, just because he came, we can all be forgiven, but we're not until we confess that sin. We're not forgiven until we come into that relationship with Christ. And so each of us must come to a point and place where we experience Christ as our Lord and Savior. He comes into our hearts, gives us a new life, and we confess our sins, and we return from them, and then we're born again. Then our life is changed. Jesus also brought hope for a future. You know, there's great promise that we would see of what the hope that he came, that he brings for us. The fact is, the scripture says, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son. You are to give him the name John. And he will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. If you know the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, that was John the Baptist was cousins of Jesus. And so as you know, that particular, he became the forerunner or the one who prepared the way for Christ. We know that in this message, Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, were beyond the age where they should have children. So at this point now, if for some of you at this point you're beyond the age of having children, this would not be good news if you suddenly realized you were going to have a child. But especially in this culture, especially at this time, this was a very important message because it was basically a shame for a woman not to have a child. And so there was shame that was there. There was no child to carry on the name. There was all of these things that surrounded it. And so this was very, very difficult for them. And so they were going on and on, hoping for a child, and then past the point of when it could happen. Now, the interesting thing is that we are never past the point of when God wants to work powerfully in whatever it is. Humanly, we may think this can't be turned around, but we're not really looking at what God can do because God is not limited. And at that point, a future is given to Zechariah and Elizabeth because now they have a future through their son and through his life in the future that is there. And so there was all this that was changed. I want to say that God has a future for your life as well. He has a future for whatever is a part of your life and whatever the plans are. And you know what? Because we have a hope, we deal with life so differently because we have a future. There's an importance also of understanding that Jesus was the hope of a miracle. When, at this point, when the message was brought to Mary, we see the scripture says nothing is impossible with God. I don't know where you are in your life or your own personal journey and where circumstances are. And maybe there's a need for a miracle in your life. Maybe there's a particular need that you're seeking to be able to find how God is going to work and what is he going to do and how he's going to provide. I know this. I know we always have to take the first step of faith for God to be able to make the miracle happen. We see that time and time again. But the scripture says nothing is impossible with God. Although it seemed impossible, nothing is. And Jesus was the hope of a Savior. He was the hope of a Savior that could come. What happened? It said, the angel said to them, these are to the shepherds, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Jesus appeared to the shepherds and gave them the promise of a Savior. Now, when we start talking about hope, certainly we have to realize that my God is a God of hope. My God is a God of hope. And that is the message that we need to have in our own lives and be thinking in regard to it. Because apart from God, there is no hope. Apart from God, there is no hope. If I did not believe in God, it would change so much of what I do, how I do it, and all that's a part of my life. You see, the scripture says in Ephesians, remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. There's such a difference in the message because we have Christ living in us for the hope that we have. And it changes how we live, how we handle life, how we handle people, how we respond to the season, to everything. There's a hope that God has for us. And as long as there is life, there is hope. As long as there is life, there is hope. And that's why anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. Don't you love that one? I just thought, wow. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Anyone who is among the living has hope. There's a great importance of understanding that God is a God of hope. And that's the message that we have. We should not be discouraged. We should be able to understand, as long as I hope in the Lord, there's strength for my life. As long as I hope in the Lord, as long as I keep my focus where it belongs, I will find that. Because the scripture says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. Those whose hope is in the Lord. And so I have to keep my focus where it needs to be. As long as I hope in the Lord, my hope does not end with the grave. As long as I hope in the Lord, my hope does not end with the grave. The fact is, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. What a difference it makes when I believe and know that there's a life after death. What a difference it makes. I have to tell you, very honestly, walking through losing my father in the last few weeks and thinking about that, if I did not have the hope in Christ, I would grieve much differently. I would respond much more differently than what I am now. At this point, see, it's only a separation. It's only a distance for a time. And then we'll be back together. And so I know that. I am confident of that. And so I can deal with all of this so differently because I have a hope beyond this world. I have a hope in a life after death. And mine is based on the Word of God. And so I can have confidence in what God has for us and what He wants to do in my life, in our lives. And so we also understand that the scripture says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. You see, we don't grieve like those who don't have hope because God has given us that. As long as I hope in the Lord, I have an anchor. And so that's an important message. As long as I hope in the Lord, I have an anchor. The fact is that the scripture tells us we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. The fact is, whatever comes into my life, I have an anchor. You know what an anchor does? If you've ever been out on a boat and you found yourself drifting by the water or by the wind, you started finding the circumstances would move you. But if you put an anchor down, even though you'd move around a little, you don't leave that spot. You're still there. Because I have hope as my anchor, no matter what my circumstances, no matter what comes to my life, no matter what happens, I'm staying where I am. Because my hope is not in this world. My hope is in Jesus Christ. And what a difference that's going to make. My hope is kept. How do I keep that? How does that happen in my life? It's kept by fastening my faith in His Word. You see, if I had hope in people, I would always be disappointed. Because people are going to disappoint you. I'm going to disappoint you. Not intentionally, but I'm sure I am. If your hope is that people are going to fix you or do for you what you can't do, you think it's always, then you're always going to be angry and resentful. But when your hope is in the Lord, it's different. I wait on Him. I trust Him. Whatever comes into my life, I trust that it's coming through His hand. I can't depend on people. I can't depend on that. I have to fasten my faith in the Word, and that's what's going to hold me. My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your Word. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your Word. Sustain me according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His Word I put my hope. There's a great importance of understanding how we trust God and we put our faith in Him. We fasten our faith to His Word. We also are offering praise to my God. That's how I keep my hope, by keeping praise and by making sure I am positive in how I deal with things. The scripture says, as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more because that increases my hope. Many times, many of people have been asking our family and asking me, how are you dealing with your dad's death and everything that's been a part of it? And I've said this over and over. Yes, I do have sadness, but let me say this. We have so much to be thankful for. And so what we have done is we've chosen to focus on what we're thankful for and what we've had, not what we don't have. If you focus on the negative and what you don't have, you're always going to be frustrated, angry, resentful. But when you choose to focus on what you have and you give praise for that, you thank God for that, you will see what a difference it's going to make for your life. I'm putting my hope in Him when I am discouraged. My hope is kept by putting my faith in Him when I am discouraged. Do we all get discouraged? Absolutely. And some get more than others. Some seem to be able to sustain that, and they are never discouraged. You know, my mom says that my dad was discouraged that she can remember two times in his life. I average that about a week. Maybe a day. I don't know. It just depends. But what we have to do, because I'm not my dad, that's for sure, I have to put my focus where it goes. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. It says this, each of those verses say the exact same thing, repeated. Why would the same verse be repeated in three different places? Because we need to get it. It's hard to get it in here. When you're discouraged, the best way to be able to do it is change your focus. You're discouraged because you're looking at circumstances. You're looking at what's before you. Instead, put your hope in God, because that's what's going to elevate and lift you beyond. Holding on to hope unswervingly. Holding on to hope unswervingly. And so what is that? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. That means not allowing anything to move it or shift it. For He who promised is... He who promised is? Yes, absolutely. You're going to find that that's the hope we profess, because I know He does not shift and does not change. He continues to remain faithful. I'm keeping my hope by setting my hope fully on Him. I'm setting it fully on Him. And that's why the scripture tells us, therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. When you set that temperature on your thermostat, it stays that temperature. Why? Because you're setting it at a point. What do you need to do in your own spirit, in your own heart? Set your hope fully on Him, and you will see that is unchanging. Here's what I'd like you to do. How will you share hope with those in your world this year? I would like you just to think for a minute. I'm going to go through. I don't have any blanks here, but there is a space below each one of these numbers. What I'd like you to think about is, who in your world can you share this hope with? It could be a name, could be at a store, could be a clerk, it could be whatever. You think about who you would share that with as I go through each one of them. And I'll read a little bit of something that'll go with it, and you think about it as I read it. Give hope to others through acceptance. The need for acceptance is met when we willingly and unconditionally love someone. Can you look beyond a person's faults and still care for them? There's not a better way to give a person hope than by accepting them for who they are, not for what they do. Is there somebody that comes to mind? Some particular situation. So be thinking, give acceptance. Love. Give hope to others through love. The need for love is met by expressing care through physical touch and tender words. Tell people you love them. Tell your spouse, your children, your colleagues. Tell people in the hospital, at weddings, at funerals. Try calling someone today and say, I want to give you a quick call to tell you thank you for being part of our church family, for being a good friend. I love you, and I'm proud to call you a friend. Does someone come to mind? Give hope to someone through love. Give hope to someone through appreciation. The need for appreciation is met through expressing thanks and praise, especially in recognizing someone's accomplishment. I recently heard a senior pastor praise the youth pastor in front of the congregation about his summer program, and the youth pastor was beaming from ear to ear. Give appreciation. Give hope to others through approval. The need for approval is met by building up or affirming a person and acknowledge the importance of the relationship. An employer I know called out a young man in an employee meeting. "Josh, the way you organized the storeroom has made everyone so pleased. We can find things now. You're making everybody's work so much easier. Thanks so much." The boss made a big deposit. He gave approval. Give hope through connection. The need for connection is met when we enter another person's world. There's no substitute for spending time with someone. And it's not just time. It's time and really listening to people from your heart. If you will truly listen to someone, whether they are happy or sad, they will feel blessed. Pastor David Augsburger says, "Being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable." Give hope through connection. Give hope through comfort. The need for comfort is met by responding to people with appropriate words and physical touch. If a person is grieving, there really are only two things to say: "I'm so sorry," and "I love you." Place your hand on the shoulder of a person in pain and tell that person you're on their side. Give hope through encouragement. Give hope through respect. The need for respect is met by honoring and regarding people as important. Do you show deference to your spouse's opinion? Do you listen to your children? Do you respect people's time? Do you respect people from different backgrounds and religions? Give hope through respect. Give hope through protection. The need for protection is met when we establish harmony in relationships and show people they are free from fear or threat or harm. Are those for whom you are financially responsible secure in knowing that you will provide for them? Do you relate to people in a consistent way? Do you treat your employees the way you want to be treated? Do people know what to expect from you? Can they read you? Give hope through protection. Give hope, lastly, through support. The need for support is met when you come along someone and give them your complete attention. Anticipate and notice when someone has experienced periods of distress. Are you willing to use your personal resources to help someone if need be? I love the stories of people saying how they reached out to a stranger. They paid it forward at a drive-thru. They paid someone else's check. They helped out in some way, and no one knows who or why or how. But I've heard the stories come back, and last year I got so many thank you cards from people that said, "You know, I'd kind of almost given up hope." And then somebody stopped and handed me this gift card, and I thought, there are good people in the world. And they sent us a thank you note in regard to our church. Got a bunch of those. You know why? Because we are responsible for giving hope to our world. Jesus gave hope to us. And so we need to give hope to the world that is around us. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, during this season, we ask that you'd help us in the journey to bring hope to a world that is in many ways hopeless. If I looked at the circumstances and I looked at what is taking place, our economy and our world and all of the kinds of earmarks that are around us, I could feel hopeless. If I looked at the way people treat one another, or I looked at the wars and I looked at all that is taking place, I could feel hopeless. If I looked at so many prayer requests for cancer and so many people that are suffering, I could feel hopeless. But you have given me hope. And my hope is in you, Lord. It's not in this world. Help me during this season to give hope to those around me that they would see something different and they would want to hope in the same Savior that I do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Give hope this week.